Right, so how does spoiler alert fit into the context of content security? So most of these sessions that you've seen are really about, you know, protecting the assets, both from the outside in and the inside out. Now, a lot of that has to do with, you know, protecting that content as an asset as it moves completely through the supply chain. But a spoiler alert is really about the information in that asset. And at SDIME, so we're the largest provider of localization services for the entertainment industry. And, you know, we get in the door thousands of assets on a daily basis, and we protect them in all of the best ways. But a lot of our focus is on the information on those assets. So the information is the dialogue, the cast, you know, characters, songs, and most importantly, the plot. So you might see where I'm going with this, right? So the other question then becomes then, well, how, you know, this is something that we take very seriously, something that we protected this information for since day one. So the question then is, how has social media, you know, changed the game? And I'd say it's changed it in a really big way.
So we're going to start with some numbers. There are 3.8 billion internet users. 2.8 billion of them are on social media. We've got almost a quarter of the world is a Facebook user. 8 out of 10 millennials check Twitter at least once a day. Snapchat. Anybody on Snapchat? No, but the kids are, trust me. Snapchat reaches 41% of millennials, again, on a daily basis. And lest we think it's just millennials on social media, actually Gen Xers spend an hour more than Gen Y. So we're all on social media platforms, and the number of active social media users is just increasing, estimated about 20% year over year. So we're on social media, we're sharing our lives on social media. What does that mean for how we interact with media and entertainment content? So I'm gonna wake you up for a second. How many of you have gone to a movie theater and tweeted or gone on social media to post something? Okay, well actually a survey was done, 55% of moviegoers admitted to texting or posting while they're in the theater. What about TV? Do you guys post about TV shows? Go on Facebook, tweet, but yeah, nodding. Okay, so yeah. 3/4 of the people who post about TV shows do it during the live television broadcast. And half of those people say they do it to feel connected with each other, with fellow fans and their friends. And 1/3 of them say they do it to feel connected to the brands and the products and the shows that they love. It's very important to them as social media users. So, all about feeling connected. And companies are tapping into that need for connection that we're experiencing on social media by marketing and promoting through all those media platforms. And it turns out it actually works. So last year, Twitter and Nielsen did a study, and they found a direct correlation between the number of tweets and the size of the viewing audience. Okay.
So, you know, feeling connected, it's become an important part of our viewing experience. Not only do we want to see movies and content, we want to talk about it. And, you know, back in the day, you know, we didn't have a lot of choice. You had to go to a movie theater if you wanted to see content you wanted to see. Or, if you were like my family, you had one TV set in the living room, and you all gathered together to watch, you know, MASH, you're all in the family. But you also talked about it. People got together and they talked about it. And so we knew from the beginning that this is an intrinsic part of our viewing experience. But what happened? So our industry, you know, decided it'd be a great idea to give more choice to people. You know, and they did that through technology. And the first example was in home entertainment. You know, through VHS and DVD, they were able to create all this choice that people could go and grab whatever content they wanted at the store or a rental shop and be able to see it when they wanted to see it. Similarly, with the introduction of DVR, you have to be able to look at your TV shows, record them, and be able to see them when you wanted to see them. And you could also, eventually, as we start to include the streaming to different devices, such as TV sets, or to your mobile phones or your tablets, you've got to be more choice. I think the real culmination of this concept of choice, what you're going to see, where you're going to see it, how you're going to see it, really came with our digital media platforms. They really gave us the stability to be able to have complete control over what we want to see, when we want to see it, and this plethora of different content. So the question then becomes, then what happened to the communal experience with all this choice? It's still going on. But really, I think what happened is that, this is something that, as soon as social media came into play, people then, started to blog. They started to have forums to talk about the content itself. Initially, the industry was a little scared about social media. They thought maybe that may take away viewers from the content they created because they're very busy on social media. But actually, an interesting thing happened as we started to have all this social awareness and communication, is that actually marketing came into play.
So I mentioned before, tweets drives viewers. Well, throughout the Game of Thrones example, Nielsen data indicates that most viewers of Game of Thrones, despite all the choice that Scott just talked about, they can watch it anytime, go on HBO Go, on any device, they're actually watching the episode the same day that it's out. Why? It's FOMO, right? The feeling of missing out that everybody wants to avoid, right? Creating these communal experiences around media content, and it's a shared cultural experience, right? It's a virtual water cooler. And, some other examples of what's now being called, social television. Of course, there's shows like The Voice where, social media engagement is just baked into the whole premise of the show. But, Walking Dead was, 2012? Launched an interactive web portal for people to use during the show with, kill counts and graphics. I don't know if anybody's a fan of Walking Dead, but, okay, so right? You're on there and you're live chatting during the show. Scandal, is another big social television show, so it's leveraging Pinterest for fans of Olivia Pope's style, right? And then you get Empire, which is the number one tweeted show to date. The season 2 premiere was the highest rated Nielsen television event since 2009. And a lot of that's attributable to the social media community that Fox created. This is these words, their marketing group. They eventize every episode that gets released and try to create a unique social media community for their fans to engage with the show. And again, that premiere had 1.3 million tweets, the premiere episode of season 2. 16.5 million people watched. It is crazy. And part of that social media community is not just about sharing information, it's live tweeting with the cast and crew. It's Cookie's Closet. You can go buy her wardrobe, right? The crazy plots and all these insane characters drive the discussion, and the marketing groups are leveraging that and actually promoting it. So that's TV, and then a few notes about film, which is not immune to the impact of social media either. One kind of recent example is Star Wars, okay? So The Force Awakens had a million views in the first half hour it was released. That speaks to the power of Star Wars, but it also speaks to the power of social media shares to create a viral event. So, what was it, last week? Last Jedi trailer? 16.5 million views in the first day. 13,000 comments on YouTube in the first 90 minutes. These are huge events that are created because we're all sharing likes and retweeting on social media. So all these platforms are creating buzz. They're facilitating buzz. We're creating direct connections between the viewers and the filmmakers. you live tweet events that were local for hardcore fans, like a filmmaker Q&A, now become global experiences that everybody wants to tap into. Companies want us to share information about their shows on social media.
So, all this sharing is a really good thing, isn't it? Well, it is until it isn't. Because it also creates the perfect ecosystem, or actually what I like to call the perfect storm, for spoiling. So if you look at it in aggregate, different distribution platforms, you have day and date releases, content, characters as products, you know, shows up on TV, comes and goes into the store, franchise and extended universe, which Sarah just spoke at length about. But something else that's been an interesting trend is I've seen, you know, that the concept of a serialized narrative has taken more and more hold. And I think it's large part because we're able to do catch up, we can catch up with the episodes of the series with our friends. We can binge watch. This is something we never were able to do before. And again, the serialized narrative, you have to watch things in sequence. You know, you can't watch it out of sequence, which really lends itself to cliffhanger plots. Again, more opportunity to score. So what does it look like? Well, back in the day, you know, you're standing in line in the theater, see a movie, and out walks somebody who gives away the ending. And in this case, there's very few people involved. You know, it's the guys in line, and that's about it. So think about what the impact of this in our social network. Instantly global and viral. So the impact of this spoiler from, you know, a few people online to a global viral, you know, ecosystem we have, is a big game changer. To the point where, you know, people on Twitter put in an icon that says spoiler alert, and they put in some technology to help mask, yeah, so give people some choice. So it's kind of the equivalent of putting your fingers in your ear while you're standing in line in the theater. Still, this concept is not that big of a deal for content production. Because, you know, as an industry, we work in the world of pre-release. And this is where it becomes, you know, pretty dramatic. If you have, you know, content that is, or information about the content that is leaked, such as in this case. Yeah, this was a big oops. So, as Sarah said, people want to share their lives, and particularly actors. In this case, a gentleman, you know, got cast in Game of Thrones, took a selfie or took a picture, posted on Instagram, which is actually happens every day. People want to share their lives. And if you think about it, though, back to the concept of information, you know, as part of the asset that has value and needs to be protected, you have the screenshot of the script. Now, that may be just a small part of the script, but when, you know, social media gets involved, instantly, you know, it goes viral. Even though the gentleman tried to delete it on Instagram, it's too late. And it's out there in the universe, and people are pointing out because they love, you know, this subject, they're big fans of Game of Thrones. You know, they're pointing out that you could zoom in on that script, that snippet, and actually get information about the content. So think about, if you think about that, though, the Game of Thrones, if you're looking at, you know, just the production facility alone, this is a fairly contained group of people working on it with lots of security in place. And it's a closed set. There's not that many people involved. But think about an international day and date franchise, you know, release of a feature. You know, this is the world that we live in. You have, you know, maybe 43 languages across the globe that you need to localize. You have to send those assets out all over the world. And in part of that, though, you have, you know, people who are working on those assets. And they're just like, you know, everyone else that is part of this generation. They like to share. They like to share their lives. They also like to share, you know, sometimes what they're working on. And it actually is it's a significant problem for us. We spend a lot of time focused on this issue. In the case of someone taking a selfie, in background may be, some of the image of a character that has not been introduced or a product that has not been introduced. So this is a significant problem for us. So the question really becomes, what do we do about it?
So in the context of a traditional content security program, right, the answer is zero tolerance. And zero tolerance, right? And there are auditable measures that I'm sure make the CDSA or any other certification or content security audit program happy, right? We can restrict phones and recordable devices and personal electronic devices from any of the production spaces. We can, you can do pat downs. You can do NDAs and get those signed. You can run awareness campaigns, which is really what is necessary. We're trying to moderate people's behavior. So here's some examples of no share campaigns that we've done in our facilities. And part of an overall awareness and training campaign. You can also do keyword monitoring, right? Find out what people are posting, nip it as quickly as possible, use that as an educational opportunity. But again, the risk that's presented by spoilers isn't confined to what you can do in the production facility. It can't be confined by four walls or a digital firewall, right? We can control the distribution of the media asset, but it's really difficult to control the information about that asset. It's in people's heads, and they're walking around with the tools to breach, and it's attached to them constantly. So we're trying to moderate people's behavior after they leave work, after they go into their personal lives, and lives that they are sharing on social media, right? So how do we control that behavior when not sharing is starting to feel unnatural to people, right? And does a zero tolerance policy actually damage somebody's brand strategy when social media is such a huge component of driving viewers to their favorite shows? So, our business is localization, which means we're partners to the companies that produce and distribute content. But we're also, and we're pledged to protect their interests, but we also are the bridge to the viewers who are engaging with that content, because we're localizing it for them to experience. And together, as an industry, we're creating a consumer experience with their media that's personal, right? Targeted marketing, custom content, localized. It's communal because we're promoting social media as a platform to talk about it. And it's immediate with these day and date event releases. So the stakes are higher for information to be released in a spoiler that, that disrupts what's happening. So as an industry, we want us to recognize the tension between the content experience and the content security and work together to manage the risk.
Thank you. Does anybody have any comments about this topic? So you're all going to quit social media, no more spoiling. Any questions?
Does it resonate? And do you feel this tension? Yes.
Good. Sarah, Scott, thank you so much. SDI Media, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.